All right, if you would today, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we want to read there a couple of verses, starting out in Galatians chapter 5. Of course, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, a church that had been wrought with much confusion about the issue of circumcision. And Paul has addressed that throughout the book. There were those that came behind the Apostle Paul after Paul had preached grace to these people and had told them that they must be circumcised. And as we get to the end of the book, Paul concludes with chapters 5 and 6 about the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Now, back up there in verse 1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." On July 4th, we celebrate our liberty. We celebrate the freedom that our forefathers procured for us when they broke away from England, came to this nation for many years, and finally decided to declare our independence from the nation England. And there was, of course, the Revolutionary War. There was those that, when they signed that document, the Declaration of Independence, they knew when they signed that there was a possibility it would cost them their life. And yet they were still willing to do so. Why? Because they believed in what they were doing. They believed it was important that people have freedom. One of those freedoms that was important to them was the freedom to worship as they saw fit. And yet, even after that, there was a carryover from England, and the Church of England still had a great place in the early Americas, but many of our founding fathers were men of faith. Many were not, but many were. In thinking about this, I was thinking about people giving their life for the freedom of others and the liberty that we have as citizens of the United States, the freedom we have as a society. But that doesn't even compare with the liberty that we have in, with the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus as a result of what He did for us. If you will, look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, the Bible says, "For He, that is God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin," speaking of Christ, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus Christ went to Calvary that we might be free, that we might have salvation as a free gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Thank you, Trent. So, if you look back in the chapter there, in verse 18, Paul says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, our apostle, the apostle Paul, says that Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. He died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, and He rose for our justification. So, Christ, by His death, secured salvation for all men in this dispensation. One of the unique things about this dispensation is that salvation is no longer of the Jew. Salvation is not coming anymore through a nation. Salvation comes through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now, that work was the work of the cross of Christ. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're talking about the liberty that was secured for us through Christ. You see, men died for the liberty that we enjoy in a physical sense. But Christ died for our liberty in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way. And that is far greater than the liberty that we have as citizens of the United States, because as citizens of heaven, and by the way, if you're saved, you are already a citizen of heaven according to Ephesians chapter 1. We're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace. But in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says there concerning the death of Christ, He says there in verse 13, "And again I will put my trust in Him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." In other words, Jesus Christ became flesh. "The Word was made flesh," John said, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." Now notice that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, now notice, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The law, a picture of God's righteousness, in reality put people under bondage because man was incapable of keeping that law. And so John said that the law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. But that grace and truth came because of Jesus Christ being willing to give Himself as the ultimate sacrifice and die for our sins. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, in verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now notice what it says. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." He didn't enjoy the cross. He was not looking forward to the cross. He endured the cross. And notice the next statement. "Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Folks, we never should take lightly the work that Christ did at Calvary in our behalf. Not in any way. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was in that garden, and He prayed in that garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." And Jesus Christ went to that cross, and He suffered, and He bled, and it was a place of shame, the Bible says, and the Bible says that He endured that cross, but He despised the shame. The cross is a place of shame. The cross was created for criminals. The cross was the most cruel death known to mankind at that time. Think about it. People talk, we talk about capital punishment today and all the law changes over the years that have been made. And today one of the big issues is that it needs to be a humane way of killing individuals. They went from the electric chair, and in America they used to hang people, and then there was a gas chamber, and then there was electric chair, and there was lethal injection. And there's been all kind of lawsuits about the death not being humane. And I'm not going to even get into the issue of capital punishment, but the fact is that when Jesus Christ was crucified, that was a means of capital punishment. The cross was for criminals. There was two criminals that were hanging there with Him. They deserved to be there. But here was the sinless, perfect Son of God who had never sinned, who took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and became sin, the Bible says. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So the cross was a place of shame. But Christ went there so that He might secure our freedom and our liberty through the grace of God. Look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we read there in Philippians about Christ taking on Him the form of a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death. And this next phrase has much more power than people many times think about when it says, even the death of the cross. You see, it had been one thing for Him to just take that spear initially and just put it into His side and crucify and kill the Lord that way. But He suffered. He hung on that cross. And if it weren't enough that He had already had a crown of thorns placed upon His head, can you imagine the pain of that? Having His clothes stripped from Him and the shame of that? And being beaten across His back until His back was bloody flesh and ribbons of flesh. Can you imagine that? And then having to have someone else carry His cross there and them laying Him on that cross. Folks, we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the One who created the tree upon which He was crucified. And yet He went there because there was a need. Because without His death, burial, and resurrection, we could never be saved. The blood of bulls and goats could only take away sin temporarily. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so Christ was willing to shed His blood. It was even the death of the cross, the death that was reserved for the worst of mankind. And yet the best was there. God's only begotten Son. And they took those spikes and they nailed them through His hands. And they nailed them through His feet. And on that cross, as you read historical accounts, they would use those spikes and they would push off and to be able to get a breath because it was a means of suffocation. And they would many times break the legs of those on the cross, so they couldn't push up like that. It would hasten a death. But for Him, they didn't break His legs because the prophecy had been that there would not be a broken bone. And they mocked Him. And they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from there. And then in the last thing, they went forth and pierced His side, and blood and water came forth. Folks, the cross is something that we should never, ever take lightly. And we should thank God daily for what His Son endured in our behalf so that we can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Why is that? Because as we just read a moment ago, Not only was the cross a place of shame and a place of death, it says there he became beaten to death, even the death of the cross. But that was where the reconciliation process was completed. You see, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he cried out, "It is finished," the work of crucifixion was finished, but the work of redemption for you and I was not. Because the Bible says that he was raised again for our justification. If they had put him in that tomb and he had never come out, God could not have forgiven us our sins. He was raised again for our justification. The cross is a place of reconciliation. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. I read these verses often because it speaks of us and our position before Christ did all that he did. He says there in Ephesians 2:11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh." How? "By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And he might reconcile both unto God." Now notice, in one body, how? "By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." What is that enmity? We were enemies of God, folks. Look back in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we were strangers to the covenant of promise, without hope. We were at enmity with God. Paul says in Romans 5 verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." How? "By the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That's his resurrection life. We were reconciled by his death. We were reconciled by the cross. He hath reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross." You see, the Bible is so complete. It talks about the cross, but then here we see it wasn't just the cross. It was the blood that was shed on the cross. Why, in Acts chapter 20, Paul says that God purchased us with his own blood. And the blood is what cleanses us. We are redeemed by his blood. It pleased the Father. And it says, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven." Listen, without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, nobody could have ever been saved in any dispensation. He paid for the sins of those in the past. He paid for the sins of those that were there crucifying him. While on the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was paying for the very sins of those that were putting him to death. In Acts chapter 2, the nation Israel was given another opportunity to receive him as the Messiah. But once again, as a nation, they rejected him. The Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, and he's given, the Bible says, the dispensation of the grace of God. He said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so Paul, 13 times in his epistles, mentions the cross whereby Christ reconciled the world unto Himself. Notice over there, we're in Colossians. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Think about that. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Well, the Bible says that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And when I read that verse, maybe I misinterpret it, but my take on that is not only did Christ die for our sins and pay for our sins and shed His blood for our sins, but He took the very instrument whereby we could be condemned and nailed it to the cross. That's why He's able to say in Romans chapter 7, we're not under the law. Listen, folks, you out there on the radio, listen to me. Any preacher today that is preaching salvation by works, either to get salvation or to retain salvation, is denying the power of the cross of Christ. He died on that cross for our sins. And Paul preached that to the Galatians. And many of them believed it. And then somebody came along and said, no, that's not enough. Isn't that a picture of religion today? How many times have I been told, oh, Christ did His part, now we have to do our part. Well, the only part you have in it is believing and receiving that which He did at Calvary. Think about comparing when Ruth wrote her letter to her classmates that I read there during that memorial service. And she mentioned in there how many people believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, people's works are going to be put on the scale, and if the good works outweigh the bad works, then the good works prevail and you're able to go into heaven. I mean, that's the picture painted, isn't it, in religion today? She said instead of picturing that as being the good works on one side and the bad works on the other, picture Christ's work on one side and then consider anything that you could do in your flesh that would compare to that. Think about what God must think of individuals that are down here on planet Earth in this human, frail, rotten, no good flesh, striving to do something in that flesh to accomplish what He already accomplished 2,000 years ago. God is not impressed with mankind and His goodness in any way. What God desires is faith in His Son, who went to that cross and became our sin and died for our sin. And because of what He did, we have been reconciled to God by the cross. Just a couple of other things. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see, folks, it's entirely possible for people to talk about the Lord, talk about the death, burial, and resurrection, and then make it of none effect. How is that? By adding something to it. By adding man's works, man's goodness, man's ability to somehow achieve goodness. All of those things. And Paul says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I would submit to you today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that there is nothing that you can do in your flesh to merit that salvation. Jesus Christ died for you that you might have eternal life. And that life begins the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this flesh may go back to dust, go back into the ground, be cremated or whatever. But your spirit is going to live forever, somewhere. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, no matter where you are today, maybe you're listening on the radio, right there in your automobile, you ought to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The gospel is that He died for our sins. He paid for them. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's forgiven us all trespasses. Your sin has been forgiven if you'll simply receive the free gift of salvation. Why don't you do that? The greatest liberty that you'll ever experience in this world is the liberty that is found in Christ Jesus. Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. There are so many people today that are under bondage of religion, the do's and don'ts of the church system. And if they don't believe that for salvation, many of them believe it for their blessings. Multitudes of people today are taught that God will bless you if you will do thus and so. Like Israel. Israel's blessings were conditional. And if they were obedient and obeyed God and did what He said, they would receive the blessing. If not, there were curses. Ours is not a system of ifs. Paul says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the greatest blessing of all is salvation. So why don't you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior if you never have? And if you have, then rest in the peace that passes all understanding and enjoy the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. It's that simple. You can do it right where you are right now. Accept that free gift. For those that are tuned in via the radio, we certainly appreciate you listening. We're on most every day at this time, and we would invite you not only to listen to the radio broadcast, but we would invite you to come be a part of our fellowship at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I hear from people all times that listen to the radio broadcast, and they're local folk. Well, we'd love to have you be a part of this fellowship. We're not going to make you sign anything or join anything or beg for your money. We just want people to come together and fellowship around the Word of God and understand the liberty that we have by the truth of God's Word. There's great blessing in understanding God's Word rightly divided. It frees us from the bondage of religion and false teaching, and we can have new life in Christ through the Word of God. And we would love to have you come be a part with us. In just a moment, as we sign off the radio broadcast, Brother Trey Searcy will give you information about our website, our telephone number, and we would love to have you come visit with us at Grace Bible Church. And we hope you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time.